All right, welcome back. Who's talking? Hobbo and Frank. We thank Barry Parkhill for joining us tonight. And now it's time to talk a little recruiting with the Sabres, Chris Horn. Frank?
All right, we're glad to have Chris Horn back. We got interrupted a couple of weeks ago when the phone system went kablooey. So, Chris, thank you for being patient with us. And give us the state of UVA football recruiting first, then we will talk about basketball and also a baseball recruit. So give us your background on or your take on the football.
Well, obviously it's a little bit of a challenge. I mean, it's a challenge, right? I mean, probably a lot of a challenge when you look further down the road. But as far as right now, in terms of the class of 2014, Virginia's got some big time commitments in Quinn Blanding and Andrew Brown, safety and a defensive tackle. For the most part, though, all the players are staying committed. They're firmly committed. I think as long as Mike London is there, they're pretty secure in their commitment to Virginia, and they're looking to help turn things around and really make Virginia, a top program here in the coming years. But as far as looking ahead, I think to the 2015 class and beyond. Obviously, with all of the kind of lack of success this year, and particularly these days with Twitter, players can see how disgruntled some fans are and things like that. Still some questions certainly moving forward. But as far as the 2014 class, I think it's pretty solidly committed, and UVA is hoping to tack on another player or two or three by the time signing day rolls around.
Now, didn't we determine early in the season that Virginia could take as many as 16 maybe this year?
Yeah, it's right around that range. I think probably around 15 or so could be the number come signing day, and that includes Corin Cutler, who signed in the class of 2013, but he's currently at Fork Union, where he's going to have to be for a full year before getting to Virginia. But yeah, I think 15 or 16 is probably the number. It's a good estimate right now.
All right, and also, what happened to Perry Jones's little brother, Zach Jones?
Right, he's currently, unless something new has happened very recently, he's working towards trying to get to Virginia in January. Ended up qualifying, I believe, out of high school, out of Oscar Smith High School. So he's aiming to get to Virginia in January, and as far as I know, that's still the plan with him. And he was a pretty dynamic player for Oscar Smith, which is one of the top programs in the high school football programs in the state. So he certainly wouldn't be a bad addition, both as a receiver and also as a returner, where he really did some damage as well in high school. But as far as I know, that's still the plan with him.
Well, we need a returner. That might be the understatement of the night.
We have a few needs.
Yeah, well, okay, Jim.
I said a few.
Nothing escapes Jim when it comes to the obvious. All right. So Virginia just got a commitment from Jalen Harrison, a St. Anne's Belfield sophomore who's quite the baseball star and also is quite the football player. What's your take on young Mr. Harrison?
Yeah, and quite the basketball player as well. A really good three-sport star at St. Anne's. And as you mentioned, he's a sophomore, Frank, and he verbally committed though to Coach O'Connor and the baseball program. Had a chance actually to catch him in person earlier this fall when St. Anne's took on Bishop Sullivan, which features one of Virginia football's top senior targets and wide receiver Jamil Kamara. Mm-hmm. And Jalen is a very good looking athlete. He's every bit 6'3", 200 pounds. He plays wide receiver and some defensive end for Coach Blake at St. Anne's. And he's definitely a good looking athlete. At this point, there were no football offers, but schools were talking to him, including Virginia. Mike London, wanted to see him more at camp next summer, because he didn't really hit the camp circuit football wise too much this year. But at the time, he admitted that he was leaning towards baseball as far as his future. He's a center fielder. He had an offer from Virginia when I talked to him in September. He also had an offer from Florida State, as well as interest from a lot of SEC schools, and then North Carolina was in the mix as well. So a lot of top programs were interested in him. So quite a big get for Coach O'Connor, and I'm anxious to catch up with him to see kind of what his plans are, because he's definitely got the talent to potentially be a multi-sport athlete in college, at least athletically. But you know, he may just want to focus on baseball, which seemed to be the sport where he thought he had the most upside.
All right, so we're speaking with Chris Horn of the Sabre, the recruiting analyst. Chris, you identified back in September Virginia still needed maybe one or two offensive linemen, one or two more wide receivers, a linebacker or two, and maybe a defensive back or two. They clearly need defensive tackles. Have you heard that Chris Braithwaite is making good academic progress and should probably be reunited with the team?
Yeah, I haven't heard us in terms of recently, but as far as I know, that's what he was working towards. And I think with those situations, obviously, it's just kind of a real step by step approach. We'll see what happens. But I know just from talking to Chris when he was in high school, he was very determined. A determined young man, and I think if he has a goal of getting back to Virginia, it wouldn't surprise me one bit to see him back. And if he can continue where he left off, the way, you know, his level of play at the end of last season, that would be a phenomenal gig. You had him, and then Andrew Brown, as I mentioned earlier, who's going to enroll, planning on enrolling at Virginia in January after graduating in high school in December, and then you know, add them to the guys that they already have on the line. Of course, you lose a guy like Jake Snyder, but that could be a pretty stalwart line looking towards next year. But I think, yeah, again, a determined kid. He traveled, I believe, an hour each way just to get to his private school that he was attending in high school. So definitely a kid that's determined, and you know, I would expect him, you know, if he puts his mind to it, I think he can certainly be back in the orange and blue next year.
That's kind of like Frank. Frank walked through. He walked 2 miles to school through snow and ice.
Uphill both ways.
Yeah, uphill both ways.
Hey, talk to us a little bit about Corwin Cutler, because he had a pretty major knee surgery, and Coach Schumann has been fairly vocal about, you know, trying to protect him, and he's only allowed on a certain field because it's a flatter surface and no potholes or anything like that, and. What are you hearing? And I mean, he was having a phenomenal year last year in the playoffs when he hurt his knee. And is the young man going to be able to come all the way back?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, he cleared to play a pretty good, you know, followed the timetable that they had kind of set initially. As you mentioned, it was a devastating knee injury after a phenomenal year. VHSAS, Virginia High School Association All-State player, just a phenomenal year, and then he had the unfortunate real bad knee injury in the playoffs. But he's worked his way back, and he was, you know, cleared to play in September. And Coach Schumann, you know, he typically does this for guys coming off injury. He doesn't want to push it too much, which I think is smart. I wouldn't say right now Cutler's 100% back by any stretch. I think he's still working his way back. But, you know, I think it's a wise approach to take it slow. Obviously, he'll be at Fork Union, so he's in good hands there as far as continuing to rehab and get stronger. And I think personally, Fork Union is a great experience for a lot of these kids. And then once he gets to Virginia, you know, they can potentially even redshirt him, so he'll have even more time. So given the amount of time that he's going to have, I feel, you know, and of course today's medical world, I feel fully expect him to be back to 100%. And he certainly didn't injure his rocket arm, so he's definitely got that still going for him. And you know, I think he'll be back to 100% down the road.
Hey, Chris, and by the way, we're visiting with Chris Horn. One final question. Let's switch over to basketball. The kid from Arizona, what is it, Peyton Dastrup?
Yep, Peyton Dastrup, yep.
I know we're on the list. It's probably a long shot. Any chance that we might get good news from him?
Yeah, I mean, Tony Bennett's been on him for, I believe, over a year. Virginia was one of the first schools to offer him. He's a 6'10 center out of Arizona, as you just mentioned, but a lot of people feel, and kind of consensus is, that BYU is the favorite. He's also considering Florida and Ohio State. He did take an official visit to Virginia, and he enjoyed it. But I think right now most people feel it's going to be BYU. But he's kind of an interesting case as well. He's going to announce his decision on Friday, so we'll see what happens. But, he's kind of an interesting situation. He's going to take a serve an LDS mission, or he's planning to. right out of high school. So he actually probably won't enroll at college until the summer of 2016. So, but certainly he'd be a phenomenal gift for Virginia. BYU seems to be the safe pick, but you never know. I think that, you know, Tony Bennett's a pretty good recruiter in his own right, and you know, we'll see what happens. But if I had to pick, I would say BYU is a safe choice right now.
All right, Chris, last question, 15 seconds for you. Rumors abound that Will Richardson, the offensive lineman down in North Carolina, mm-hmm. Burlington, North Carolina, rumors that he may be reopening his recruiting. Any truth to that?
I talked to him last week, and he has taken an unofficial visit to NC State. He still claims he's committed to Virginia, but he's also, you know, seriously considering an official visit to Florida State, which NC State, Florida State, and Wisconsin are schools that he's talking to. So, obviously, if he makes those visits, there's some doubt there as far as if he's going to actually end up at Virginia. But it still, you know, says he remains committed. If Mike London is still there, I think Virginia still has a good chance with him. But obviously. But, you know, we'll see. If they start taking the visits, then it's kind of, you know, well, anything can pretty much happen.
Very good. Well, Chris, thank you for joining us as always. We'll bring you back here probably in about a month to sort of give us a further update. But thank you so much. And we're going to go now very shortly to Dr. David Nediff of Ortho Virginia. We're looking for his call. Dr. Nediff has been a tremendous supporter along with Jody Smith and Dr. Rawls and Vincent Dalton, and Thorpe Davis, as well as all the good folks over North Virginia. So we're looking for his call.
Was there any additional injuries coming out of Saturday that you noticed during the game? Or
you know, for the life of me, I remember a player going off the field once. I cannot remember who that player was. There was so much action, and it was not during a timeout. They sort of pulled him aside, and for all I know, they put him back in the game. Very impressed with David Dean. David Dean has been a trooper in there playing defensive tackle with very few substitutions for him, and he has been extremely competitive.
Now, did Ian Fry kick the field goal?
No.
So he did not come back because they listed him as probable last Thursday.
No, that was the longest kick that Alec Vezenlik has made. That was a 40-yarder. Which was very impressive. I thought he did a good job. Let's see.
And Nicholson is still out.
Nicholson is still out with a turf toe. So we're going to ask Jesse here to call Dr. Nediff, and he's hopefully we'll have him on here shortly.
And Maurice Kennedy, so there's still some guys Maurice in the secondary.
Maurice Kennedy was listed as medical, and that's a very unusual description when they do that to us. Hard to specify. I did notice that shrouded in all this secrecy that Virginia uses now, Clemson lists everybody's injury. If somebody has a knee injury, it says knee injury. If someone has a toe injury, they have a toe injury. If someone has a shoulder, they say shoulder. They don't say upper torso, you know. So,
well,
I noticed also Daquan Romero, you know, pointed to his shoulder once or twice and seemed to want to get a sub, and the coaches waved him back.
They looked the other way.
They waved him back. So I believe Dr. Nediff is with us. David, are you there?
I'm here.
Very good. All right, perfect. So we did learn through the grapevine that superstar number one cornerback Demetrius Nicholson, a.k.a. Trey Nicholson, has turf toe, and he's missed at least four games now, I believe, and we sure could have used him against Sammy Watkins. Help us understand the turf toe injury, and then how would you rehabilitate someone that has turf toe?
Well, that's a great, great question, because it's a common sports injury. In fact, I'm embarrassed to admit this, but I got a turf toe last year when I slipped on a toy my son left in the basement. So. I probably shouldn't say that on the air, but that's exactly what happened. And what happens essentially with a turf toe is that the great toe, so your big toe, gets pushed upward, so the actual toenail part gets forced backward, almost towards your ankle. And it basically causes the bones to unnaturally bang up against each other, and it often it creates a severe bone bruise. It can do significant ligament damage, and ultimately it can do cartilage damage, which can become a chronic problem. So it's actually a very serious injury. It's one of those things where you think, well, gosh, how bad can it be? It's just your toe. But in an athlete who has to cut and shift all the time, an enormous amount of force goes through that great toe, and it's very painful, very painful. Depending on the severity of it, it can potentially be something that really lingers around the whole season and really limits your mobility.
For many diehard Wahoo football fans, they may recall that former UVA tailback Antone Womack struggled with that and sometimes played with it. And I was told from coaches after he finished school that he was in agony with that and played through it. Also, linebacker for Virginia, Daquan Romero, and tight end Jake McGee. Jake played at collegiate. They have been battling shoulder stingers, and I think a lot of high school players get that. Tell us a little bit about that, and then how do you rehabilitate a shoulder injury like that?
Hey, did you say a stinger?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Another common football, that's common football injury, especially, and essentially what it is, it actually doesn't involve the shoulder per se. What it involves is the nerves that come out of your neck. They kind of form a cobweb as they come out of your neck and they move towards the shoulder. And the cobwebs combine to form the distinct nerves that go into your arm, shoulder, hand, and so forth. So what happens is when you make a tackle and your head gets pushed to the opposite side of that same shoulder, and then there's downward traction on the shoulder as well, it creates a stretch injury to that cobweb of nerves, and it can cause the nerves to completely quit working. So there essentially is paralysis of that side of the arm, or it can just be very painful and cause them a loss of strength for a while or numbness. So depending on the severity, again, it could be something where they literally could almost play that same game. Or I've seen it in a high school kid who it took him 6 months for his function in the arm to come back because it's such a severe stinger.
Well, Doctor, we appreciate your time tonight. I know you were supposed to be on a couple of weeks ago when we were having phone problems here at the studio, so we appreciate your patience and persistence, and thank you for your time and your support of the show.
No problem, guys. Thank you.
All right, Dr. David Nedif of Ortho Virginia, we're going to go to our final break now. We'll come back with the Olympic update and take a look at the ACC schedule this coming weekend. Stay with us.